Welcome to the A-Level Religious Studies Podcast, your revision companion for WGA Component 3, Option E. I'm your tutor today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover one of the most intellectually rich topics in the entire specification, sources of wisdom and authority in Islam. Whether you're sitting your exam in a few weeks or just beginning your revision, this episode will give you the core knowledge, the exam technique, and the confidence to tackle any question the examiners throw at you. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's dive in. Section 1. Core concepts, the hierarchy of Islamic sources. The first thing you need to understand, and this is absolutely fundamental, is that Islam operates with a structured hierarchy of sources. These sources are collectively known as Usul al-Fiqh, which translates as the roots or foundations of Islamic jurisprudence. Think of it like a legal system with a clear chain of authority. At the very top sits the Quran. Below it, the Sunnah recorded in Hadith. Then Aima, which is scholarly consensus. And finally, Qiyas, which is analogical reasoning. A great memory hook for this is the acronym QSIQ, Quran, Sunnah, Aima, Qiyas. Say it a few times, QSIQ. Now let's unpack each one properly, because examiners want precision, not vague generalizations. The Quran. The Quran holds the highest authority in Islam because it is understood as Kalam Allah, literally the speech of God. This is not merely an inspired text like the Bible might be understood in Christianity. Orthodox Islamic theology holds that the Quran is the uncreated, eternal word of God revealed to the Prophet Muhammad through the angel Jibril, beginning on Layla al-Qadr, the Night of Power, in 610 CE. This ontological claim that the Quran is uncreated is enormously significant and was the subject of a major theological controversy in the 9th century between the Asharite and Mu'tazilite schools, which we'll return to in a moment. The revelation came in stages over approximately 23 years, and during the Prophet's lifetime, the verses were memorized by companions known as hafas and written on available materials, palm leaves, bones, parchment. The critical moment for the written text came after the Battle of Yamamah in 633 CE, where many hafas were killed. The first caliph, Abu Bakr, commissioned Zayd ibn Thabit, the Prophet's chief scribe, to compile a single written text. This was a collection of extant materials, not a creative editorial process. Candidates must be careful here. Describing the compilation as creative editing is a common and costly mistake. The text was compiled, not composed. The definitive standardization came under the third caliph, Uthman ibn Affan, between 644 and 656 CE. Uthman commissioned a committee, again led by Zayd ibn Thabit, to produce a single authoritative codex, the Uthmanic Mushaf. Copies were sent to the major Muslim cities, and all variant manuscripts were ordered to be destroyed. This process is called the Uthmanic codification, and it is essential knowledge for AO1 marks. You must be able to name Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman and explain their distinct roles. Now, the Sunnah and Hadith. Here is one of the most important distinctions in the entire topic, and one that trips up even well-prepared candidates. The Sunnah refers to the practice, custom, and way of life of the Prophet Muhammad, his actions, his approvals, his character. The Hadith is the written report of that practice. Think of it this way. The Sunnah is the thing itself. The Hadith is the record of the thing. They are not the same. Conflating them will cost you marks. The authority of the Sunnah is grounded directly in the Quran. Surah 4, verse 59 commands, "Obey Allah and obey the Messenger." This Quranic mandate elevates the Prophet's practice to a binding source of guidance. However, the Sunnah operates at a different ontological level from the Quran. The Quran is Kalam Allah, divine speech. The Sunnah is the inspired conduct of a human being, even if that human being is the Prophet. This distinction in authority is critical for AO2 evaluation. The Hadith collections were compiled in the 9th century CE, roughly 200 years after the Prophet's death. The six canonical collections of Sunni Islam are known as the Kutub al-Sitta. The most authoritative are Sahih al-Bukhari, compiled by Muhammad al-Bukhari, who died in 870 CE, and Sahih Muslim, compiled by Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj, who died in 875 CE. When writing about Hadith, always name specific collections. Saying books of Hadith without naming them is a missed opportunity for marks. Because of the time gap between the Prophet's death and the compilation of Hadith, scholars developed a rigorous science of authentication. This involves two dimensions: the isnad, which is the chain of transmission, who reported it, from whom, and the matinan, which is the actual text content of the report. For the isnad, scholars examine the character and memory of each narrator, a discipline called ilm al-rijal, the science of men. For the matinen, scholars checked whether the content contradicted the Quran or was historically implausible. Based on this analysis, hadith are classified into three main grades. Sahih means sound, the chain is unbroken, all narrators are reliable, and the text is consistent with the Quran. Hasan means good, slightly weaker chain but still acceptable. Da'if means weak, a flaw exists in the chain or the text. Only Sahih, and in some cases, Hasan hadith can be used as the basis for Islamic law. Da'if hadith are generally not used for legal rulings. The concept of mutawatir is also important. This refers to a hadith transmitted by so many independent chains that collusion or fabrication is considered impossible. Mutawatir reports carry the highest degree of certainty. Now, Aima and Qiyas. The third source is Aima, meaning scholarly consensus. This is the agreement of qualified Islamic scholars on a legal or theological question. The authority of Aima is itself grounded in a hadith. My community will never agree upon an error. Imma can be explicit where scholars formally agree, or tacit where silence implies consent. Critics of Aima, particularly modernist thinkers, question whether true consensus is ever achievable across the global Muslim community. The fourth source is Qiyas, analogical reasoning. This is where a jurist takes a ruling from the Quran or Sunnah and applies it by analogy to a new situation not directly addressed by the texts. The classic example is the prohibition of alcohol in the Quran, which is extended by analogy to all intoxicants, including narcotics and recreational drugs. The jurist identifies the operative cause, the Allah, which in this case is intoxication, and applies it to the new substance. Al-Shafi, the 8th century jurist who died in 820 CE, is credited as the architect of this four-source theory in his foundational work, the Risala. He systematized usul al-fiqh as a discipline. Section 2. Exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk exam technique. WGIEC allocates 40% of marks to AO1, which is knowledge and understanding, and 60% to AO2, which is evaluation and analysis. This means that in an essay question, the majority of your marks come from your ability to evaluate, not just describe. Every paragraph in an evaluation essay must contain a judgment phrase. Phrases like "this argument is robust because," or "this position is undermined by," or "a stronger case can be made that," these signal to the examiner that you are evaluating, not just narrating. Common mistake number one, conflating sunnah and hadith. Remember, sunnah is the practice, hadith is the written record. They are related but distinct. Common mistake number two, describing Sharia as a static book of law. Sharia is not a code like the French civil code. It is a methodology, a process of deriving rulings from the four sources. The output of that process is called fiqh, which means jurisprudence or understanding. Sharia is the divine ideal. Fiqh is the human attempt to understand it. Common mistake number three, treating the Quran and hadith as equal in authority. They are not. The Quran is kalam Allah, uncreated divine speech. The hadith records the inspired conduct of a human prophet. The Quran takes precedence in all cases of apparent conflict. Common mistake number four, describing the Uthmanic codification as a creative editing process. Uthman's committee collected and standardized existing materials. They did not compose or invent. Use the word standardization or codification, not editing or creation. For AO2 marks, you must engage with specific scholarly debates. On the createdness of the Quran, contrast the Ash'arite position that the Quran is uncreated and eternal with the Mu'tazilite position that the Quran was created in time because only God is eternal. The Mu'tazilites were eventually suppressed, but their arguments resurface in modernist Islamic thought. On Qiyas and modern ethics, you might evaluate whether analogical reasoning is adequate for biomedical ethics questions such as organ transplantation, genetic engineering, or end-of-life care that the classical jurists could not have anticipated. Modernist scholars like Faisler Rahman argue for a broader interpretive methodology, while traditionalists insist on strict adherence to classical usul al-fiqh. Section 3, Quickfire Recall Quiz. Cover your notes and try to answer these. Ready? Question 1. What does kalam Allah mean, and why is it significant? Answer. It means the speech of God, and it signifies that the Quran is the uncreated, eternal word of God, the highest possible source of authority. Question 2. Who was Zayd ibn Thabit, and what was his role in two separate compilation events? Answer. He was the Prophet's chief scribe. He led the compilation under Abu Bakr after the Battle of Yamama in 633 CE, and he led the standardization committee under Uthman between 644 and 656 CE. Question 3. What is the difference between Sunnah and Hadith? Answer. Sunnah is the practice and custom of the Prophet. Hadith is the written report of that practice. Question 4. Name the 6 canonical Sunni Hadith collections. Answer. The Kutub al-Sitta includes Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Sunan Abu Dawud, Jami al-Tirmidhi, Sunan al-Nasa'i, and Sunan ibn Majah. Question 5. What is Qiyas and who systematized it? Answer. Qiyas is analogical reasoning, applying an existing ruling to a new situation by identifying the operative cause. Al-Shafi systematized it in his work, The Risala. Section 4. Summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. The sources of wisdom and authority in Islam form a coherent hierarchical system. The Quran as Kalam Allah at the apex, the Sunnah recorded in authenticated hadith as the second source, Aimah as scholarly consensus, and Qiyas as analogical reasoning. The science of hadith authentication, Isnad and Matan-Eng criticism, demonstrates the intellectual rigor with which Islamic scholars approached the preservation of prophetic tradition. The tension between traditionalist and modernist approaches to these sources remains one of the most live debates in contemporary Islamic thought, and it is precisely this tension that WJ examiners want you to engage with at the highest level. Remember, AO2 is 60% of your marks. Evaluate, judge, and argue. Don't just describe. Use specific names, al-Bukhari, al-Shafi'i, Zayd ibn Thabit. Use specific references, Surah 459, the Uthmanic codification, the Kutub al-Sitta. And always, always distinguish between the Quran as revelation and the Hadith as inspired report. You've got this. Good luck in your exam and keep revising with purpose. Until next time.